the Fade the Noise podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets. Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by the good sir, Nathaniel Lundy, freshly renewed and probably tanned from his excursion to Mexico. Hopefully your mariachi tryout scored you a gig, Lundy. But this is the Fade the Noise podcast, and boy, what an NFL weekend it was. Stupefying, I think, is kind of the best way to describe it. Just unpredictable, wild, pure insanity. I think the entire liquor cabinet was emptied due to the extreme inebriation of all four games coming down to the waning moments. And of course, really all of you could say were instant classics, but the two games on Sunday in particular were bananas. And that's not even doing it justice, in my opinion. Two of the greatest playoff games that you'll ever see, and really the greatest divisional round that you'll ever see in NFL history, and I don't think it can ever be duplicated. So, Lundy, with that in the books, and carry on with all your arguments about the asinine overtime rules, let's go ahead and discuss early leans on Championship Sunday upcoming. Current odds right now at DraftKings at tape time, Kansas City laying 7 with a total of 53.5. Meanwhile, the Rams, in the third meeting against San Francisco, can they actually knock off the Niners, who've won 7 straight against them? They are laying 3.5 with a total of 46.5. Out of those two matchups, including the sign, including the total, maybe you want to go with the money line. What is your favorite gut lean here early in the week?
I'm going to go early lean with the Niners plus the 3.5. I think that's going to be a tight contest between those two, as evidenced by the fact that it's a full touchdown lower on the total than the Cincinnati-Kansas City game is. So I think that one's going to stay close. But at the same time, the Chiefs, to me, at home, I'm wondering what kind of emotional lift is going to carry over into next weekend. The Bengals are on house money right now, and just having a good time, and their fans are ecstatic because they obviously broke the 31-year curse. Now they won themselves a second game. Joe Burrow is God. He's like going to be up for governor of Ohio before too long, I'm sure. I'm fully expecting I think there's going to be a letdown with Cincinnati. So I think right now my favorite lean, just in terms of the line, is on the Niners. But if that Chiefs line at all gets to 6.5, I will probably go with the Chiefs once it gets below a touchdown.
Well, at BetMGM right now, it's actually going the other way. Kansas City's laying 7.5 there. So, I kind of like Cincinnati at plus 7.5. I think Captain Hook, yarr, is going to come into play. He saw what happened in the last match between these two teams, and it was a victory by the Bengals at home. So, yeah, revenge is on the mind of Kansas City, but this is probably going to be similar to the Buffalo game. Whoever has got the ball last will ultimately win. So I think 7.5 is too much, but I agree. If it goes to 6.5, that is worth a nice little play as well on Kansas City. I'll just take the Niners on the money line at plus 150 right now. They just have the Rams number. They are owning that ass, Lundy. And the fact that you can run on L.A., Leonard Fournette gashed this Rams front early in the game. Now, game script kind of took that out of play. But when he got Eli Mitchell, when he got Deebo Samuel, who just does everything, the jack of all trades, and you have a suitable passing attack to add balance, I think, ultimately the Niners just have too many weapons, and it's too much of a matchup problem for the Rams to conquer. So plus 150 for me on the money line. That is my favorite early lean in the Battle of the Golden State part trace between the Niners and the Rams. With that, let's get to it on this Monday edition with another Fade 5.
Number 5.
All right, Lundy, let's go ahead and talk some hockey, drop the puck, and make some bucks. What is on the docket tonight? And what tickles your fancy, my man?
Yeah, we got to – I actually was able to unplug and take a break. I was south of the border, none of my apps work.
Yeah.
I can't bet, which is actually probably a good thing because I unplugged completely. I'll be honest. On Saturday, I'm sitting around by the pool, of course, and I thought to myself, hey, when the hell does football start? That was
– Well, you were already drunk.
That was like, well, yeah, so – What's your point? You know, but so that was a great feeling. I'm not going to lie, folks. Sometimes as much as Brad and I enjoy what we do, damn it, it is nice to unplug every now and then. But yes, turning around and plugging right back in to everything today. Let's go to the ice. Let's go to the nation's capital where those Vegas Golden Knights will travel to face the Capitals of Washington. Focused in on the total with this one because you got a couple of teams that there's not a whole lot of separation, in my opinion, between how these two teams play. But what I do know is that their goaltending at times is suspect. And so we're going to focus in on the total with this one, which is sitting at six. I will take the over between these two. I'm expecting a decent amount of scoring. And in fact, if you go back over the course of the last six meetings between these two teams, five of them have managed to hit the over, including, you know, the fact that they're known to hit seven. They're known to hit eight. It can happen. So with this one sitting at a nice round six, I will go ahead and take the over in this one. Normally, I would prefer the hook. I hate getting the kiss your sister. I don't need a push, but I actually think they're going to surpass this one. Would not surprise me at all to see a final of like 4-3 between these two. So let's take the over in the total between the Caps and the Golden Knights.
Oh, sound those damn sirens, Lundy. He's back from vacation, and he wants to get muy caliente.
Number four.
All right, let's go to the NBA. Again, a sport that just continues to obliterate my bankroll. But, you know, we're going back, and we're going to try to, you know, throw one against a glass and see if it actually falls through the cylinder here. And I'm going to side with a guy that has been scorching hot, and that is Darius Garland of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I'm going to take the over on 29.5 points plus assists, Lundy, minus 115. At FanDuel Sportsbook, Garland's taking on the New York Knicks, and the Vandy Dandy is really lighting it up. You know, you look at what he's done here in the last five games. Well, he's gone over this 29.5 points plus assists total in each of those games. The month of January, he's averaging 20.6 points per contest and 10.6 assists per game. Now, New York, middling defensively, number 13 in the NBA in adjusted defensive efficiency, and they've allowed the 15th most opponent assists per game. So it's not the greatest matchup, but all I'm doing is riding the hot hand of Garland, who just continues to bomb the box score. So, Lundy, fade or follow, Darius Garland over 29.5 points plus assists, minus 115 at FanDuel. Is it six straight overs in this category, amigo?
I will take a half dozen on the overs, and I will also take whatever it takes for you to be able to break out of your slump. Perhaps it was because I was not with you to wrap my loving voice around you here on the podcast.
Oh, voice. I thought you were going to wrap something else around me.
No.
Which I would have welcomed.
Trying to throw some love your way and give you the good vibes. So perhaps we will hit the half dozen mark right here with Garland on the 29.5. Let's look for him to get into low 30s. I could feel pretty comfortable with this, and you could actually finally cash a basketball ticket.
I need to flush out those betting demons. Come on, Darius, damn it. I need a winner.
Number three.
All right, let's go to the world of college basketball. Let's go to under-radar play in the OVC, the Ohio Valley Conference. And let's feature Ja Morant U, and that is the Murray State Racers, laying 17.5 against an inferior Tennessee Tech team. And I'm going to lay the chalk on this one, minus 110 at BetMGM. You look at the Racers, they are unblemished right now in league action. Number one in the conference in total offensive efficiency. Number one in adjusted defensive efficiency as well. 42.3% of their shots come from along the perimeter. And if Tevin Brown and Justice Hill are making it rain, combined on the season, they're shooting 41.6%. Murray State should win by 20-plus as Tennessee Tech, number 251 in the nation, in adjusted defensive efficiency. And on the other side, equally anemic, number 261 in offensive efficiency. So, Lundy, are those Racers going to giddy up and handle business at home, laying 17.5 against Tennessee Tech? Again, minus 110 at BetMGM. Fade or follow?
Well, we're looking at a squad that's 4-1 against the spread over the course of their last five in the Racers squad that you're talking about. But this is the stat that I really like on them. They are 4-0 against the spread when they're coming off a loss against the spread, which is what they're coming off of. So they bounce back. I like that. I bounce back on the scoreboard. You got to beat Tennessee Tech by 20. I think you got to be able to put the hammer down. Let's assume, and we know what happens when we assume, let's assume that trend continues for them in terms of the bounce back that they've done after they lose against the spread. So I'll take it. I will roll with the Racers.
Yeah, that's right. Murray State for all that moolah. Stick around for my top picks on Monday night slate of college basketball action. Plus, oh, you know it, we got additional plays in bonus time.
Number two.
All right, Luddy, let's go to the SEC, and let's talk about a basement-dwelling team. That is the Ole Miss Rebels, and they are at home, Kermit Davis's club, Kermie, hosting the Florida Gators. And I'm actually going to roll with Ole Miss despite being 1-5 in SEC play, and I'm going to take them plus the 5.5. And if you're interested, I think a money line could be in play here as well. They could take this sucker straight up and spring the upset at plus 195. You know, the reason why I think Ole Miss is going to be highly competitive, A, they're at home, and B, this is a team that can really light it up from outside. They're shooting 37.4% from along the arc. Over 40% of their shots have come from the perimeter in SEC play. When you look at Florida, they are number 9, so in the bottom quarter of the SEC in adjusted defensive efficiency this season. So Morrell and Fagan and Brakefield, if those guys open up the skies and are making it rain, I think ultimately they could spring the upset. One other note here as well, it's not like Florida's going to match them bucket for bucket from outside as the Gators turn themselves into luggage. 29.7 three-point percentage in SEC games this year. So fade or follow, my man, Ole Miss plus 5.5 against those Florida Gators, minus 110 at FanDuel.
If we can see them splash early, I'll feel pretty good about this one because you do need to make them from the outside. Florida, not as prolific from outside as you just pointed out. I'll take Ole Miss at home, but this one makes me a little bit nervous. I'm not going to lie, because Ole Miss could just decide to absolutely crap the bed, Brad, as you know.
Well, they've done that repeatedly. They're 1-5 in the SEC, for crying out loud.
Exactly. They're not doing too well in conference play here. So Florida could come in and wax them. But let's hope maybe there's a little bit of love on the home court and Ole Miss can actually decide to show up. But they got to make those threes early. So if you're watching the game tonight, or if you're checking the box score to see how your bet's going, just go straight to that three-point percentage and the three-point shot that they're making, and you'll know whether or not they're getting the job done.
Take the points inside the pavilion.
Number one.
All right, my top play in college basketball on this Manic Monday, and it is the game of the night as the Texas Tech Red Raiders go to Fog Allen to take on the Kansas Jayhawks. And I'm going to take Tech plus the 6.5, just too many points, Lundy. I know your wife is a diehard University of Kansas fan. She loves that school. She loves everything about the Jayhawks and their stupid-looking mascot who wears buckled shoes. But I think Texas Tech will keep this one nice and snug merely because they play outstanding defense. They never get blown out. Hell, they've only lost two games by 7 or more points this season. One was at Kansas State of all teams, which was interestingly enough, and the other was against Gonzaga on a neutral floor. So I think ultimately here, you know, Texas Tech, number 4 in the nation, adjusted defensive efficiency, giving up just 0.875 points per possession. But this is a first-place battle in the Big 12. At least that's up for grabs if Tech can spring the upset. Both these teams, top 15 in shot quality, top 15 in Bartorvik, top 15 in KenPom. Pretty evenly matched. They got a win inside with Williams and Santos Silva. And, you know, David McCormack can really get after it. And that's why they got to win that battle in the post, because he's number one in the nation in offensive rebounding percentage. If they can force turnovers, which they have done 24.4% of the time in league play, and set the pace, you know, put this thing as a slow jam, put a little Jodeci on the five-disc changer, and, you know, apply the brake and slow jam, I think this will frustrate Kansas. It'll keep it within arm's reach. I'm not saying Tech's going to win this thing. I think actually KU does by triple. But I think ultimately the 6.5, just too many points for Mark Adams' crew, which is well coached, experienced, and really playing at such a really extraordinary level defensively. So feed or follow the Red Raiders, guns up, +6.5 in Kansas, -110 at BetMGM.
You do this shit just to get me in trouble. This is what you do.
I did say that Kansas is going to win.
But you do this sort of crap to get me in trouble, to try to go, oh, well, you know, picking against the white. I mean, this is how you wind up sleeping on the couch, Brad. This is how this crap happens. All right.
Well, this is a revenge game. The KU can get it.
Yeah, no, I think KU is going to wind up winning the game. I agree with you, but I think that it's going to be close. Here's what to me is fascinating, Brad. If we go back to February of 2020, okay, five matchups between these two teams since then, all of them Tech would have covered a 6.5. KU won by 3, KU won by 4, KU won by 1, KU won by 5. And then obviously the revenge game that we're talking about, that Tech beat them by 8 earlier this year. So you put all of that together and you're talking about two teams that just are close. Then you add to the fact that the Jayhawks have only managed to cover against the spread once in their last five. They're not exactly covering machines. They can figure out how to win, but they're not managing to do it based on what the books are thinking. So I'm going to take Tech to be able to cover it, Brad. I think this is a 3, maybe a 4-point game. And if you go back and look at the last 2 years of matchups between these two schools, that's what keeps happening between them. They are playing tight games. And I think Tech will be able to keep it close, even though it will be in the raucous environment of Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah, and all the predictive analytics are saying the same thing. They're all saying anywhere between a 4 to 6 point margin in favor of Kansas in the end. So Captain Hook, y'all, Army mateys, could come in handy for us tonight on the Red Raiders side. All right, Lundy, before we call this a podcast, it's bonus time. Let's make some additional bucks. Let's start off with the right foot this week. What else you got for me?
Let's go to the late night on the hockey. There's a bunch of early games because they're playing on the East Coast, 7 o'clock Eastern time. But there are a couple of later ones, including one at 9 o'clock Eastern, as Calgary will be hosting St. Louis. St. Louis cannot seem to figure it out on the road. They're only 4-8 over their last 12 road games. And these teams will be battling as they go through each of them with a back to back. So I'm going to go with Calgary at home, A, because St. Louis has not been doing well on the road. And B, whenever I've got teams that I can see on this kind of a back to back, when they're both dealing with that kind of thing and you're talking about what you're doing from a goaltending standpoint, should be Binnington for St. Louis. But I think Calgary at home should be able to take care of them. So let's take them on the money line at a -145. Pair that up with another one if you want, just to, have some fun. For example, Minnesota is at home taking on the very lowly Montreal Canadiens. So if you wanted to take Calgary, slap them together, you can do Calgary individually at -145. But if you want to slap them with a heavy favorite like the Wild, you can turn that into depending upon the book, at about a +120 parlay. So not too bad of a payoff. Nice little two-legger in hockey tonight.
I like that quite a bit. Let's go back to the world of college basketball, and I'll even give you a little bonus time in the NBA here in a second as well. But I love the team totals, Lundy. I cannot resist them. And let's go out west and talk about the UNLV running Rebels, and they're going to be running into some walls because that is what San Diego State constructs defensively. I'm going to take the under on the running Rebs on the 57.5. Team total points on the road there inside the Viejas Arena as the Aztecs have given up just 0.742 points per possession in Mountain West play. Again, let me repeat that. 0.742. That's crazy. And they are just boa constrictive there overall, giving up 23.4% from distance and 34.1% inside the arc. Craziness. UNLV, meanwhile, shooting just 49.1% Mountain West action from two. So Brian Dutcher's club, I think, really just applies the pressure, and UNLV will crumble as a result. Meanwhile, give me North Carolina over a 73.5 team total points against Virginia Tech. Must-win game for the Tar Heels, who have come unraveled after back-to-back losses, and to get it, off the bubble and back into the good graces of the projected NCAA tournament field. This is the fastest team in the ACC, so this is going to be a brisk-paced game, and they have a huge inside advantage against Virginia Tech with Baycott and Garcia and Manic. I think they're going to score a lot of easy buckets, add a little bit of balance, maybe hit 6 to 8 threes from outside, and should be able to handle business. Virginia Tech is dead last in the ACC in adjusted defensive efficiency, giving up 1.145 points per possession, again, in league play. All right, let's go to the NBA. And I'm going to take the over and get seduced by the juice on the plus odds for Evan Mobley of the Cavs. 2.5 blocks plus steals, and that's a plus 105 at DraftKings. He's averaging 2.9 combined this month. He's got that 7'4" wingspan. He wears the short shorts. You're hoping nothing falls out of those things. They're so damn short. But he's been over this in 6 of his last 10. Now, he went 1 block and 1 steal in the prior matchup back in mid-November against the New York Knicks, but just call it a TYG, as Lundy would say. Trust your gut special. I think he gets 3, ticks the box score, and blocks and steals. And Lundy, I don't know if you saw this, but, you know, I featured Darius Garland earlier on in the pod. DraftKings has an over-under on a half a block for Garland. If he hits the over, it's plus 850.
Ooh. Ooh.
Now, he's only done it. He's only done it, I think, like 3 or 4 times the entire year that he's had a block shot. But this is the first time that I can recall that DraftKings, or any book for that matter, has posted a line on Darius Garland for a half a block. 1 block, and it's 8.5 to 1. Does that excite you?
Ooh, that's a sexy one, man. I'm not gonna lie. That's that's like Tom Brady falling forward for a yard kind of sexy. That's a fun one right there.
Yeah, it seriously is. I saw that. I'm like, oh sure, I'll waste $20 on this. Why the hell not?
You kind of love those kind of bets, right?
Yeah.
And everybody that's listening has done it, right? Where you're just kind of scrolling through and you're like, yeah, I mean, I know that he's only, you know, I know that he's only 5'9", but this guy could totally finish with, a block plus a slam dunk. Sure, you know, like you just find some kind of random bonus that you get sucked into. Happens to me all the time. All the time I get sucked into these, and it's, you know, just sprinkling $5 here, $10 there. It gets me in trouble.
Also gets me in trouble is like, hey, you're at the bar, you're with a bunch of friends. You say to yourself, oh, I'm not going to have another shot. Another round of shots! Okay, peer pressure. Yeah, it's the same thing here. I can't resist it.
Yeah, right. Well, I know. I just spent a week in Mexico, Brad. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, let's get a rejection from Darius Garland and make some serious dinero here on this Monday edition of the Faith of Always pod. And that is a wrap, because Lundy's got his recovery in process right now with his liver, because it's probably as wide as Mexico side to side. Please follow Lundy on social media, specifically on Twitter, at Nate Lundy. Follow me there, at Noisy Huevos. Drop us a rating and a review, would you kindly, if you enjoy this podcast. And until next time, as always, feed or follow. That is up to you.
Feed the noise.